Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Voice of Christian Israel, and we are live on Eurofolk Radio. This is September 9th. Unfortunately, I have to clear signal. Sound is off. Yes, I want to discontinue the sound, so I'm hoping that works. And my guest today is Pastor Martens of South Africa. How are you doing today, Pastor Martens?
Good evening, Pastor Eli, and also good evening to our listeners across the globe. Yes,
yeah.
It was a beautiful day in Cape Town today, but the winter is still holding its claws on our beautiful country. It's cold, and it's I believe that it's still snowing up country towards the Free State and Johannesburg.
Okay. That's too bad, because it's nice and warm here. We're actually coming, you know, into our fall, right? And you're coming out of your winter, because we do live on a globe, not on a flat plane, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and we've been having fun with the flat earthers in recent days. But nevertheless, we want people to pay attention to important stuff, namely the white genocide that's occurring in South Africa. Now, I just sent you a link, and I'll try to share this link with the listeners in the chat room. That's okay. Not the right one. I have to go back to our Skype conversation for that. But let me just open it up for my own edification here. South Africa unexpectedly slides into recession as agricultural production plummets in wake of plans to seize white-owned farmland. Now, I know you're having connection problems, and people are hearing a lot of clicking and hissing from your sandpaper noises from your end. We'll just have to do our best to get through today's show. I've had to make a couple of adjustments just before showtime as well to go live. But I am on the new computer that I purchased specifically to do live shows, because I was having so much trouble with the old one, and this is an HP. And this is by Thomas Lifson, Lifson, and this is September 5th, 2018, so it's a very recent article. And first of all, let me ask you, why would there be a surprise in agricultural production when the South African government, which is run by black racists, would be executing so many, how many thousands of white farmers have been slaughtered since Mandela became president?
Pastor, I have a figure of the total number. It's approximately in the order of 90,000 whites that have been murdered.
Wow.
Ever since 1994, the onset of the 1994 elections. Now, what I also do know is that not so long ago there were, what I do recall, and I might have my figures wrong, but of the initial 147,000 farmers, white farmers in South Africa, there are less than, I think, 40,000 remaining. So
wow.
It's been a shrinking, ever-shrinking
population.
But it's not necessarily purely because of the slaughter of whites and the white farmers. It is also because of the fact that things have become so expensive in South Africa. Our fuel prices have skyrocketed out of proportion. All the services that are provided and monopolized by the government. Now, under the previous government, the electricity supply was manipulated or governed or
overseen by a white government before Mandela.
Well, it was parastatal. It was a parastatal that provided the telecommunication services, the Even the fuel, the transport of the fuel was done by parastatal organizations. Now, since the 1994 event, all of these things have been privatized in favor of black ownership and in control of blacks.
Okay, now you say privatized. Hold on there, because aren't these so-called privatizations given to ANC members on the side? You know, it's not. I don't see that as real privatization. What I see is this is handing the government over to individuals who are actually members of the ANC, and you know, it's not really private. It's ANC, it's still ANC control, but in a kind of offhand way. I think that's what you mean by para-governmental.
Well, Pastor, to give you an idea, is that the current president is a multi-billionaire, and he is also a participant in an organization or organizations that have now been favored by the government. Now, remember that the government is monopolized by the ANC and the other communistic parties,
yeah.
Black parties.
Now, wait a minute. You say he's a millionaire, but the ANC, which is his party, is communistic. How does that work?
Pastor, well, this is extreme communism playing its role here. If you consider, for example, that he's not a millionaire, he's a multi-billionaire.
Right?
He owns vast tracts of land. He owns vast tracts of land. He owns vast number of mining operations in South Africa and abroad. He has multiple palaces, which he owns. One of his companies has also been favored in terms of the provision of sustainable energy to replace to complement the Eskom, the Electricity Supply Commission of South Africa. Now, the sad thing is that the rich are becoming super rich in South Africa. The poor are totally being milked out of proportion. And even the fuel is controlled in South Africa. The pricing is controlled by the same people that own the petroleum refineries. It's just absolutely amazing the way in which the government, the present government, has their throttling on every other organization, or every organization that they own thrives and has such a splendor of their the takings in terms of business. In other words, the government only deals with companies that that are owned by state officials.
And
of course,
so it's quasi capitalism, quasi communism. But this is exactly what we had in the Soviet Union, where all of the means of production were owned by Jews and commissars, who became very wealthy because they ipso facto really owned the apparatus of manufacturing, not the state. It was these individuals, these commissars, most of them Jews, who actually owned and ran the industrial empire, such as it was. Yeah. It was actually very weak in the Soviet Union, but they owned it and controlled it. It's not owned by the people under communism. It never has.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, this is communism taken to its, I would say, to its most extreme point.
It becomes capitalism. It's the exact opposite of what Marx said. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing is the populace, the poorest of the poor, are being hoaxed into believing that they are voting for things to become better. Now that the government, the ANC government, has run out of any further promises that they can make, because they have failed on every promise that they have been making since the 1960s.
That's right.
They have failed on every promise that they have made during elections. They now have run out of these promises because they haven't delivered at all.
Well, yes.
The only thing remaining is ground, is property.
Right.
And the ones that are being targeted.
Which is a source of all wealth, really. It's the earth itself. Whether it's food or, diamonds, gold, right?
Yeah.
Even oil.
The whole thing is, the whole thing is that this land expropriation bill that has been passed by government and which is now going to be implemented, etc. The first farms that have been earmarked for expropriation actually exposed what this is all about. All those farms which have been earmarked for expropriation are farms that have wealth minerals on those farms.
Uh-huh.
So it is all about mining. They are now from promises. Well, promises that they couldn't be deliver on the basis of what they have given, that wealth will be distributed amongst all. Wealth is currently only distributed amongst the upper echelons of the communist ANC parties.
There you go.
Also, of course.
Yes, because both a Jewish capitalism, which is the bankers, it's bankers capitalism, not free enterprise. There's an enormous difference between those two. And Jewish communism are both forms of monopolism. It's bankers' monopolism on the one hand and state monopolism on the other, with the people being the slaves of the monopolists.
Absolutely.
It's always been that way, and yet the propaganda that there's this antagonism between capitalists and communists is really a shadow game. That you have to pick sides. Are you a capitalist or are you a communist? And they don't make clear what they mean by capitalism. It's certainly not free enterprise today. Okay, by no means is it free enterprise. And both groups are controlled by Jews. And then they hire, or George Soros and the Rothschilds hire communist activists to terrorize the neighborhoods and create anarchy, hoping to scare us into voting for communism. That's correct, exactly what happened in your country.
Exactly what happened in our country, Pastor. Mm-hmm. There's so much which, that they could have done over the past 24 years in terms of delivering on those promises. But just about every municipality in South Africa is bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
The salaries that are drawn by these parasites exceed the income that they generate, even with increased taxation. To give you an idea, just on the electricity side, now, approximately a year and a half ago, we have annual increases in electrical prices in July of every year. From the 1st of July, electricity prices are escalated. Now, from last year, before July, I paid approximately 67 or 69 cents per kilowatt hour of electricity, which is already expensive. It is already about in the order of about 700 to 800% higher than from the days of the 1994 elections. However, from last year to this year, my electricity has increased from about 67 or 69 cents a kilowatt hour to more than to approximately 1.70 rand. In other words, that is nearly a threefold increase just in the price of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an idea, with water, my water account averaged in about a year ago average in the order of about 35 to 37 rand per month. My water account since April this year, I battled to keep it under 1,500 rand.
Oh my goodness.
Just for water.
Mm.
Now, if you consider, for example, that what the value of the rand is, the South African currency, it's just reached very close to 20 rand per pound in what I heard just by the way, I think a day or two ago, nearly 20 rand per pound. We are, I think, on $15 or 15 rand per dollar, which was only a few years ago. It was only 3 rand per dollar. So it has escalated into something. It's a sort of story which one would most probably ascribe to Hollywood. However, we are living it daily. The value of our money is becoming less. The value of the white man's money, the white man's property, is becoming worthless because the government wants to take it, and the banks have already indicated that if your property is taken, you're still responsible for the bond, which is
Oh, that's incredible. So the government confiscates your property, but you still have to pay taxes on it? Well, but if it takes your property, you can't be living on it anymore. How can you be responsible for it since you're no longer living on it?
But you're still responsible. The banks have issued a statement saying that you will still be responsible for the payment of the outstanding part of the bond.
I see. Okay, even though the banks are colluding with the government to take your property from you,
well,
it's double theft.
It's very clearly, it is becoming a very, very prominent conspiracy against, if I can say it, against the white man.
Of course.
Now, one can draw this whole event, this whole agenda, you can draw back to F.W. de Klerk. Remember, we've spoken about it on a number of occasions, where F.W. de Klerk was actually given millions and millions of rand and the Nobel Peace Prize, of course, which landed him a further large pot of gold in his pocket,
right,
in exchange for the people of his country, or the people of this country, and the country's wealth and existence, you can say. Because if you consider, well, it was an agenda which was followed, and this agenda has been alive since even before the Anglo-Boer Wars. We've spoken about that on a number of occasions. But one of the things that I haven't spoken about much is the fact that Jan Smuts, the so-called Boer general, which I call a Trojan horse. I have identified him as a Trojan horse on a number of occasions and for a number of reasons. But this Trojan horse, Cape Dutch Afrikaner Jan Smuts, he actually colluded. He was part and parcel of this conspiracy against the Boers. He is part and parcel of the New World Order overrunning and overruling the Republic of South Africa.
Okay.
Because shortly before the onset of the Second World War, Jan Smuts secretly met with the 20-year-old Nelson Mandela.
Jeez. Okay.
So Nelson Mandela was already part of the Freemason New World Order agenda, and a pawn.
Yeah,
to be
a collaborator.
Used.
Yeah.
A collaborator. Even at the age of 20. Now, if one draws that back to where Nelson Mandela came from, Nelson Mandela apparently was a hybrid. He's not a black.
Mm-hmm.
People like to think of him as black, but he's... What I had heard was that his father was a German Jew with a surname Mandel.
Right. Mandel is a very popular Jewish surname. Yes, it is.
Mandel. Now, something else must be said. Is it not the same type of hybrid person which Barack Obama was?
Yes, exactly. By the way, this is kind of funny. In Texas, I believe it was Texas Tech University, or might have been the University of Texas itself. The blacks at that university had a blacks-only beauty pageant.
Yeah.
Can you imagine white people having a whites-only beauty pageant? Okay. Well, the winner
Pastor, it would be the worst form of racism ever.
Yes, exactly. Well, they had this blacks-only beauty pageant, but the winner was half white. She was prettier than the full black participants. So right after she won the pageant, the university, the tweeters went wild. Hey, she's not black. She looks more white to me, right? So all this black racism is beginning to backfire in their faces, right? So they were trying to be inclusive, right? They included a half-white contestant, and she won the pageant, and the judges were all black men. Okay?
Yeah.
So
Pastor, what one must also say about this is we are living in the days of the toes of the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about, in which Daniel had actually given him the interpretation of.
Right.
We are living in the time when the iron and clay does not mix.
Right. Yeah, but they have been forcibly mixed together. Right.
Yes.
Yes. And so, yeah, peoples and nations being forcibly mixed together. And, of course, that began here in America at gunpoint when Ike the Kike Eisenhower and the Jew head of the Supreme Court conspired to forcibly integrate the schools in the South. Okay?
Yeah.
This was totally done in opposition to the Constitution without consulting the voting electorate. Okay? Earl Warren. He was, in fact, a rabbi. Earl Warren was, in fact, a rabbi, and Ike the Kike was a Jew. So we see these two Jews, once they achieved these positions of power, never revealing their Jewishness to the American people, and Earl Warren was a known total history of being pro-communist his entire life, okay? And then Eisenhower being a Zionist his entire life. So you have a Zionist Jew in the presidency, a communist Jew as head of the Supreme Court. Well, what do you think is going to happen? It's amazing.
Exactly.
America has survived 60, 70 years beyond those two clowns.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? Fortunately, we've got elected a white president in the interim, but South Africa is still being led by blacks, just like the city of Detroit. And you can see what that has led to in the city of Detroit. Back to you.
Yeah. Pastor, yes, it's a devastating effect. And, of course, the liberals don't like it to be made publicly known, the realities of what we are seeing is, in fact, denied by these liberals because they control the media, they control that which is being propagated throughout the world.
Yes.
In exactly the same way, if I can perhaps just remind you of something that we have already discussed, but not in enough detail, and that is that when we spoke about the Anglo-Boer Wars, I didn't know that I did know, but I didn't have the proof thereof, that the enticers of the Anglo-Boer Wars, it was enticed and incited by the escaped Dutch Afrikaners.
Right.
Now, you will recall that I have spoken about it on a number of occasions in the past, but what I have managed to land up with quite recently is the evidence of a very popular singer in South Africa, Steve Hofmeyr, whom is being pushed by these Cape Dutch Afrikaners and purporting to be a what they call a traditional leader of the Boers. Now, his ancestors were exactly this, they were even more anti-Boers than than what Nelson Mandela was, even more so than what the current EFF member of parliament, Julius Malema, was. Yeah. Or yeah. can't be.
Well, Jews have always been more rabidly anti-white than any other group of people, even blacks, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You know, and of course, the Freemasons are their toys, their tools, the people they use to get their agenda done. Yeah, go ahead.
But something else that must also be said, Pastor, is that it's amazing how these Jews are pushing the black agenda all across the globe. However, they don't allow blacks into Israel.
That's right. No hypocrisy there. No hypocrisy. No. Let's turn a blind eye to that, right? Well, here, it's very interesting. Before I go back to this article, I'm curious, is there an equal pushing of the homosexual, transgender, feminist agenda in South Africa as there is in Europe and America? Or is that not so prevalent there?
Pastor, it's extremely prevalent. In fact, South Africa is deemed the gay capital of the world. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No. I thought it was Israel. All right, but we just haven't talked about that much because, you know, the white genocide occurring in your country is so bad that those subjects, you know, pale in comparison. But that's also a form of white genocide, to get white people to stop producing babies by becoming homosexuals and feminists, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so it's obviously part of the agenda. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. But here, let me say that because you were saying that the mass media does not cover and the liberals don't want to discuss this. In this article, Mr. Lifson states, gee, who could possibly have anticipated that threatening to steal, that is, expropriate without compensation, land from farmers who have worked it for generations would cause farmers to cut back on planting, cultivating, harvesting, or shipping crops. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, if you tell them we're going to take everything you have, why bother working the fields? Thus, we have Bloomberg telling us, quote, South Africa's economy unexpectedly shrank for the second consecutive quarter in the 3 months through June. Now, this shows that Bloomberg, which is an international news agency, knows what's going on.
Yes.
But has not made any statements here in America or in Europe about the fact that they do know what's going on. They're hushing this up. But nevertheless, they have to tell their investors, gee, we missed the ball on this one. You know, we didn't expect the South African economy, the farming economy, to tank. Why, you know, well, would they even bother telling their investors that, you know, to disinvest? Back to you.
Pastor, no, they wouldn't, because they're hoping for all of this to remain hush-hush. And, of course, at the end of the day, when they orchestrate the crashing of the financial system of the world, it will catch everybody by surprise. But something else needs to be said as well, and that is that Theresa May from Britain, she was in South Africa recently, and she explicitly, she explicitly mentioned, or she stated, that Britain stands with the expropriation of white farmers in South Africa in favor of the redistribution of land amongst the blacks.
Communism.
Jewism.
Yes. But you repeat yourself. Okay. Wow. I mean, could it be more obvious that the global Jewish conspiracy is at work here, and that the Jew banksters always hire Jew communists, and in this case, it's more black communists than Jew communists. That was the case in the Soviet Union and in most of Europe, and of course in China, they hired Chinese communists to do their dirty work for them, to basically expropriate all resources from the people, whatever color they might be, whatever race they might be, and then blame somebody else and blame Whitey for it, blame capitalism, blame this, blame that, but never themselves. There is hope over here, Pastor Martins, because black people are in fact waking up. The walkaway movement has a lot of black presenters telling their listeners that the Democratic Party is simply exploiting blacks for their votes and has never prom delivered on any of their promises, just as you were
Yeah.
telling us about the ANC, never delivering on any
Yeah,
of its promises.
yeah. But Pastor, one must also remember that that there's a reason why they don't deliver on their promises.
Well, yeah,
The
because they're
moment
thieves.
that they deliver on their promises,
Yeah.
if they should deliver on their promises, you will have a happy populace.
No, you can't
And
have that. Right?
if you have a happy populace, you cannot manipulate them.
That's right. That's right. Well, as I told a Democrat, that if the Democratic Party delivered the goods to the black community, they would have jobs, they would become prosperous, and they would have to pay taxes, which means they would become Republicans. Right? The Democrats can't have that. Right? Okay. That's why the black community is always economically depressed, because they don't want black people to become taxpayers. They would start fighting having their taxes cut, and that's a and taxation is confiscation, folks. Yeah, the income tax
Absolutely.
amendment here in America was passed by the same group of Jews that created the Federal Reserve Bank to expropriate our wealth. Okay, South Africa has had the same thing happen without the prominent banking, creation, because the Jews controlled your economy ever since they expropriated your diamonds and gold. Right? So it's the same exact same thing. Exact same thing. The timing and the formulation of the policies were done for you exactly behind the scenes, but mainly to steal your gold and diamonds and other resources, where here in America the Jews conspired to take our money system, to take total control of our money system first, and then they got control of our resources. Okay? But it's
But
the same deal. Back to you.
Pastor, I know I have mentioned it in previous programs, and that is the role that Cape Dutch Afrikaners played in the instigation, the enticement of the Anglo-Boer Wars.
Yes.
Now, one can only guess as to what level of control and what level of influence the Cape Dutch Afrikaners are exerting on the blacks today to do exactly what they enticed the British to do in those days against the Boers.
Yes. Well,
Remember what I mentioned,
go ahead.
before was that even the Queen stated categorically at some stage that the war that they were involved in, that is the Anglo-Boer War, was not a war that they had chosen to fight. It was actually exerted upon them. They were forced into the war.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, again, by who? By the dialectic. They control the capitalist, or that is the banker capitalism around the world, and they control the communism around the world. And the synthesis is supposed to be what? Democracy? That's what they've been always promising, that the synthesis would be democracy. But what is mock? It's mob rule. The synthesis is the New World Order. That's what the synthesis really is.
But again, Pastor, what I wanted to express here is the role that the Cape Dutch Afrikaners played, and one can only wonder what the level of influence is that they have on this expropriation of land in favor of the blacks. In other words, are the Cape Dutch Afrikaners again using pawns, where they used the British as pawns in previously? They are now using, well, I'm speculating here, but I have reason to believe that there is a direct relation between events that have taken place in South Africa over the past few years, where Cape Dutch Afrikaner organizations like AfriForum, one of the member organizations of a labor
coalition
agency or labor union called Solidarity, where AfriForum was involved. What they had stated to the people is that they were going to take Julius Malema to task for his singing of the Kill the Boers song.
Right, yeah, and actually, they let him off. These are Cape Dutch who actually let him off the hook when they were promising the whites of South Africa that he was going to be punished, and it was themselves who let him off the hook. Right, but you said you had proof, and I think we may have covered this once before, and you had all kinds of, how should I put it, you know, suggestive evidence that the Cape Dutch were behind all this, but now you say you have proof, and then what is that proof?
Pastor, I've got copies of the actual court documents of the agreement between AfriForum and the Transvaal Agricultural Union on the one side against the ANC and Julius Malema on the other side.
Okay.
Now, what has also become evident at the time, or now over the past few weeks, is that AfriForum, after the court case, and after that they had the Human Rights Commission finding that the singing of this song is hate speech,
right,
and it creates an environment or a atmosphere of enticing the blacks who attend those events to actually go out and kill farmers.
Well, let me give you a counter example. Kill the blacks, kill the welfare recipients, kill the blacks, kill the welfare recipients. What if I were to go public and singing that song? Would there not be an absolute outcry?
No, Pastor, that would be going after the spider's web and not the spider itself. I have categorically stated on Facebook on a number of occasions now, excuse me, that people are going for the spider's web, or they even trying to stomp on the scorpion on the floor when the web is what they've got, what they experience.
They're still caught in the web, yes. They're still caught in the web, which of course...
I suggested that we sing a song that states, kill a Dutchman, kill an Afrikaner.
There you go.
See, if you sing that song, then the Cape Dutch, of course, will find reason, or try and find a reason to actually take you to task, because now you're targeting Cape Dutch Afrikaners.
Yes. Whereas, kill a Dutchman, kill a Jew. Because this whole thing...
Kill a Jew.
Right.
Which was even more accurate in terms of the situation that we find ourselves.
I've got to record that song. Got to record that. Okay, so we're getting down to brass tacks, as they say. Now we're right at the very bottom of the conspiracy of white genocide. That's what this is. This is white genocide. But this, Bloomberg is an economic, worldwide economic site. Okay, the author continues. By the way, this is www.americanthinker.com, and I'm looking at some of the other articles they have. This is a really good website. I just became familiar with it this morning looking for this. It says Ocasio gets knocked out She's the Mexican socialist who won a primary but has yet to run against the Republican in the election. I think she's going to get swarmed over. Another title here, Media and the Rise of Homosexuality. Cory Booker is Sharpton, not Spartacus. Okay. Cory Booker is the half-black who wants to become president in 2020. And he's a downright low-down Afrikaner.
Foster, just something else, which I also intended to say. After Julius Malema played along in this court case to have him to sing the Kill the Farmer, Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer song legally, mm-hmm. he was given a very generous handshake by AfriForum, the very people who promised to take him to task and get him jailed for his ignoring of the court order that actually prohibits the singing of the song. And as far as I can make it out, I might be incorrect in the amount, but I believe he received an amount of 1 million South African rand to cover his legal costs.
Wow. Now, who paid that? Who paid that? Hello? You there?
Can you hear me?
You faded out for a second. Who paid that money for his legal costs? Did he have the government? Who paid it?
Boss, that was paid by the very people who begged our money to take him to court.
Okay.
Now, can you see how deceptive these Dutch Afrikaners are?
Well, more proof that communism and what's called capitalism falsely, bankers' capitalism, are run by the same group of people, and they're working together to put the squeeze on the middle class. And, of course, the strongest middle class population in South Africa are the whites. And then this is nothing but a strategy to deprive the middle class, both white and black and whatever, of their property and confiscated for the government.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I don't see how blacks are going to benefit from this.
But the thing that I want to also stress, Pastor, is that, and I've stated categorically on a number of occasions, is that these Cape Dutch Afrikaners are the extension of the Ashkenazis and the Khazarians.
That's right.
Edomites.
That's right.
And they were the ones that came to set up this halfway station in at the Cape, to exploit the position of the Cape in terms of financial and commercial exploitation and financial gain. And it was not as we have been taught for so many years. For three generations we heard that the whites in South Africa came to the Cape, the Afrikaners came to the Cape because they were persecuted in Europe for their religious belief.
No, they were businessmen.
But the whole thing is... The whole thing is, they came to the Cape to exploit the position of the Cape for the commercial and financial value, while their ships plowed the seas,
right,
and plied the seas for on the route between the Far East and Europe.
Yeah, for commercial gain, purely for commercial gain, and for no other reason.
Bastard was to monopolize the control and the selling and the opium market in Europe.
Yes. To take it from India and from China and sell it in Europe. That's what, and apparently in South Africa as well, but I don't know how much of an opium market they ever created there. So, but these Cape Dutch also exploited the Boer people at the same time. Okay.
Absolutely, Pastor. It is ingrained in their DNA to be exploiters, to be assimilators. They have assimilated the Boers to the extent where the Boers don't even know that they are Boers anymore.
Right.
They forced the Boers to assimilate Afrikanerdom after the union, the illegal union of South Africa. Remember that they actually not just plundered, well, they virtually during the Second Anglo-Boer War, and the second half of the Second Anglo-Boer War, they devastated the Boers by the number of deaths of their children. Up to 70% of the children under 16 years of age were decimated, were killed.
In the concentration camps.
4,000 of the Boer women.
Yes.
And
death camps.
The figures could be far greater than the numbers that I've stated, purely because it has been discovered that in many of the graves that are marked only with one name, mm-hmm. up to four skeletal remains are found in those graves that have been excavated.
Talk about white genocide, absolute proof of white genocide, yet the mass media absolutely refuse to talk about white genocide. They pretend it doesn't exist. Yeah. In fact, MSNBC... criticized Donald Trump because he drew attention to the confiscations of white farms, and MSNBC called him a racist for drawing attention to it.
But Pastor, this is being perpetrated, or it's being perpetrated by the Cape Dutch Afrikaners.
That's right.
I mean, why would the Cape Dutch Afrikaner Freemasons that have controlled and ruled this country for 80 years all of a sudden reach the point where they, without the firing of one shot, they would actually stand back so that the black Freemasons can take over the government of South Africa? What on earth would think that a white man would think that way unless there is a greater agenda whereby he can profit and gain in the long run?
Right.
Now, I've mentioned it before, and it's quite evident that this agendas, conspiracies that they've been running for the past 160 years, these Cape Dutch Afrikaners, have been running these conspiracies for the past 160 years.
The collusion between the Judeo-communists and the Judeo-capitalists is becoming so obvious. Just look at what Nike did. Nike is a supposedly capitalist company. They're actually known for having their shoes made in sweatshops in the third world, slave labor, okay?
Yeah.
And they just gave a huge deal to none other than Colin Kaepernick, the guy who loves Cuba and Che Guevara and Fidel Castro so much, okay?
Yeah.
People are asking, what is Nike thinking promoting a communist?
Well, they're in cahoots, Pastor.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay? That's really what's going on. It's becoming patent, and the mass media here in America simply glosses over the crimes of the left-wingers, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who run around prancing around with the clenched fist of communism, the hammer and sickle, and they blame everything on white nationalists and neo-Nazis and racists when all of the damage and the violence is being committed by communists.
Who's in control of the mass media, Pastor? And like you've said before, George Soros actually sponsors this Black Lives Matter or this
yes
South
Antifa
Africa.
Yes, even in your country,
even in our country, South Africa, in George Soros is of course his Open Society are involved in many of these enticements to plunder and to burn and to it's all orchestrated by these Edomites.
Yes, totally orchestrated. Totally orchestrated. And we're the only ones, we in identity, and perhaps a few white nationalists have woken up to the Jewish question all over again, that this is being orchestrated by Jewish monopolists and Jewish communists working together, pretending to be enemies. It's nothing but a gigantic chess match where both the black and the white pieces on the chess match are being pushed around by Jews.
Correct.
Okay? By Jews. Okay, with only a few minutes left, about 8 minutes left, let me quote again from this article. The recession based on a second quarter decline in the GDP of 0.8%, so let's call it 1%, which doesn't seem like a month, like much, but is it entirely due to a steep decline in agricultural production. Quote, the agricultural market fell back by 29%, taking 0.8% off the GDP. So, now what if the agricultural market falls again next year by another 29%, and next year by another 29%, we're approaching 100%. What in the world is the AMP going to do then?
Boss, that figure, you must also remember that that figure only represents the sentiments of the Boers or the farmers over the past or the previous year.
Okay.
When there was still uncertainty about this whole thing.
Yes.
That 29.2%.
Yes.
That 29% represents a small fraction of the actual sentiment. There are numerous farmers who have now totally, they have not yet planted now.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a farmer strike. It's a white farmer strike, is what you're saying.
The farmers have commenced striking. Mm-hmm. And those that did have cultivated lands have even gone to the point where they have set fire to these lands themselves. They would rather burn down that which they have, that they have put all their labor on, than to actually have that expropriated. And
again, this is what Russia did as Napoleon was advancing toward Moscow.
Yeah.
The Tsar burned his own fields so that the invading troops couldn't feed themselves. Wow.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, I'd say this is a prelude to revolution. Are the white farmers arming themselves? Are white people in South Africa who can't manage to leave, because we know that 15,000 families went to Russia and are being financed by Putin to relocate into Russia, which has to reduce the number of white farmers. Who's going to grow the food?
Nobody remains to grow the food, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Everywhere in South Africa, people, even small households and people in flats, are looking at cultivating their own vegetables on their balconies and verandas, etc.
Yes, yes. Well, this is coming to a head. How much longer can this cultural appropriation from the white race continue without everything totally collapsing?
It cannot continue much further, Pastor. In fact, if one senses the nuances which has been propagated by blacks and whites in South Africa at the moment, is that everybody knows that, except the newspapers, everybody else knows that a war is imminent.
That's right. Well, so, and that's the question I've been asked by several people here in America. Are the whites of South Africa arming themselves in preparation to defend themselves? Because once these blacks begin starving, as they did in Zimbabwe, but most of the whites had already left Zimbabwe before the starvation began, if any white person stays, he's going to have to fight for his life.
Yes. Pastor, one must remember that the Boers have been marginalized by the Cape Dutch Afrikaners for the past, 108 years.
Right. If not longer. Since the beginning, actually.
The Boers were also, to a very large degree, disarmed by the Cape Dutch Afrikaners union government after 1914, the rebellion. We have spoken about that as well.
Yes, yes.
So, but there was something that worked in our favor. While the Cape Dutch Afrikaners were reserving all the top-notch positions and managerial positions in businesses and large corporations, etc., for their own sons and daughters who were sent to university and that have become top-notch members of organizations and also the money-making machines of South Africa. Yeah. The Boers' sons were sent to the borders to fight the wars, etc.
Yes.
Because we were too poor to attend universities. Many Boers, very clever people, have been deprived the opportunity of going to university purely because on the basis of the fact that they were Boers.
Right.
And descendants of the Boers, the mm-hmm. Boer people. And they
yes.
were being marginalized out of promotions,
okay.
work promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, they were sent to the border to fight the wars that the Afrikaners
yeah.
Had actually enticed.
Right.
And had brought
yeah.
on themselves.
With just a little more than 2 minutes left, it's obvious that Bloomberg obviously knows what's going on. Mass media knows that all this is going on. They're keeping it ultra quiet. But this is the analysis of the author of the article. Referring to this decline in GDP, he says, "This was entirely predictable. Half a year ago, I warned that with expropriation of white farmers, South Africa is embarking on a course headed toward disaster." Quote, "The former Rhodesia turned itself from the breadbasket of Africa, a major exporter of staple grains, into a country on the perpetual verge of mass starvation by expropriating and often murdering white farmers and giving land to cronies of President Mugabe, who were not capable
yes.
of stewardship. The same thing happened to other elements of the economy as well, all based in getting even for racial grievances of the past."
Yeah.
Blame Whitey, take his stuff, and we'll be in paradise. This is a racial
yeah.
war. That's what it is. Back to you. We have about
exactly
a minute left.
As it's been, exactly as it had been stated or by various of the biblical prophets or Bible prophets,
mm-hmm.
In particular Daniel prophesying in Daniel chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
So these biblical prophecies are busy playing out. Of course, I've stated this on a number of occasions on this program as well, Pastor, that the book of Obadiah in the Bible actually clearly indicates exactly what we can be expecting when the Almighty himself takes his revenge against these Edomites.
That's right.
Against
That's
all
right.
these perpetrators of,
yeah.
of wars.
I agree 100%, and we're just about out of time. It's time for our people of the white race to start praying to Yahweh to intervene and get rid of these shysters and these psychopathic maniacs who are hell-bent to destroy our race. That's what we have
Absolutely.
To pray for. We have to pray imprecatory prayer. And Yahweh, do it now. Don't waste any more time. Thanks for listening. Thanks again for being my guest. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition, folks.
Thank
we
you,
will
Pastor.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Praise Yahweh.